This week, Democrats won a majority in the House of Representatives, giving them subpoena power to use against the Trump administration and a chance to water down or stop the Republicans' legislative agenda. One of the key ways they'll do that is by taking control of various congressional committees. Joining us now for a look at some of the leadership changes coming for the House of Representatives is NPR congressional reporter Kelsey Snell. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey, Jeremy.
So first of all, just briefly, how do these congressional committees decide who gets to be the chair? I guess it's usually the ranking member in order of seniority and always from the party in the majority, but the committee members do have to vote. How does it work?
Yeah, they do have a say in all of this, but largely it will likely be the most senior person on the committee. Democrats in particular in the House don't have term limits for their chairman, and the committee chairmanships are really considered to be a moment of allowing the people who have the most institutional knowledge, I guess is the best way to put it, and the best information about all of the issues that come before their committee, allowing them to be in control, to work in coordination with the Speaker's office to kind of guide the direction of that committee for the entirety of that Congress, which is 2 years.
Okay, so let's get to a few of the most important committees. Adam Schiff, people now know him well. He's been in the media a lot in the last couple of years. He's a California Democrat. He is likely to be the next chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He is one of President Trump's biggest critics when it comes to the Russia investigation. Trump has called him sleazy and totally biased. Here's Schiff on MSNBC on Tuesday night.
We're going to look at the work that the GOP obstructed on our committee, and it was really worse than abdicating the responsibility of the committee. The majority went further to be complicit in the president's attacks on the independence of the Justice Department, on the men and women of the FBI, on our intelligence community. So we also need to restore the relationship between our committee and the intelligence community and law enforcement.
Schiff would be taking over from Republican Devin Nunes, who abruptly wrapped up the committee's investigation into Russian meddling in March and concluded that there was no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. How are things going to change in the Intel Committee?
Well, as we heard there from Schiff, he really feels like there's a responsibility to look deeper into things that maybe got left unexamined when Nunes was in control. So it's entirely possible that he could reopen parts of that investigation, or there's a possibility that, I'll remind listeners of the Benghazi committee, that was created out of a thread that another committee was investigating, and the speaker at that time decided to open a whole new separate investigation. That's within their power now.
Right. Another California Democrat, Maxine Waters, is poised to take over the House Financial Services Committee. She would be both the first woman and African-American to head that panel and would have subpoena power to investigate banks, make it more difficult for the Trump administration to roll back financial regulations. Here she is talking to MSNBC earlier this week before the election.
We have to deal with some issues that have not been dealt with properly for a long time. We've got to deal with the National Flood Insurance Program. We've got to deal with the XM Bank. And so it is an important committee. And, at the top of my agenda is dealing with the reform of Fannie and Freddie and trying to make sure that we do something about the housing crisis.
How big a shift will this be for the Financial Services Committee?
This will be a dramatic shift because one of the things that I think has been a trend for the Trump administration and Republicans' relationship with the Trump administration is that they don't want to do as much oversight of private industry. And the Financial Services Committee would have an opportunity to really dig into the actions of private companies like banks. And that is something that Maxine Waters has advocated for the entirety of her career, is having a more open look into the way that these companies that serve the public interact with the public. So it's one of those situations where she's not likely to be able to get new legislation through because, remember, Republicans still control the Senate. Mm-hmm. But this investigation opportunity will give Congress a chance to openly ask questions of some of these major CEOs, and it could be these major televised events. And it's definitely a transparency opportunity.
There's also the House Appropriations Committee, which handles the spending bills that fund the government. Representative Nita Lowey of New York is expected to be its next chair and the first woman to lead that panel. She could make it harder for Republicans to get money for a border wall or push for funding for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to research gun violence, something Republicans have not wanted to do. What else might change in the Appropriations Committee under Democratic control?
Well, I actually think that the biggest change that we're going to see happen with appropriations happens well before Loewy would become chairwoman. They have to vote on a spending bill before the end of this year. There's a December 7th deadline for funding the government. You'll remember that about 70% of the government was already funded through big appropriations bills this year. But the Department of Homeland Security in particular has not yet been funded, and that includes money for President Trump's wall on the border. So whatever agreements that they reach in the next coming months will kind of set the playing field that Loewy will kind of walk into. And I think appropriations is a really interesting place because, by and large, it's one of the most bipartisan committees, and it's one of the places where the House and Senate work together most closely. And I don't think that's necessarily going to change. Loewy's been in Congress a long time and has deep relationships in both the House and the Senate.
What about the House Judiciary Committee? Gerald Nadler of New York is set to lead that committee. It has jurisdiction over the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the courts. Here's Nadler speaking last month.
A responsible Congress would have exercised its authority to do its constitutional duty, demanding accountability from the administration and passing legislation that promotes fair, honest governance and protects the rule of law. Instead, House Republicans have worked to block for the president and distract attention from the real crises caused by the administration.
Kelsey, what can Nadler do as head of the committee that Republicans haven't been doing?
Well, we've already seen that in just the past day, Nadler has been signatory on a flurry of letters all about the White House firing of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. They have already sent earlier today, Nadler was signed on to a letter demanding preservation of records following the firing of Sessions. And there's an indication already that one of the first things he may want to do is investigate that firing in particular.
Massachusetts Representative Richard Neal is likely to control the House Ways and Means Committee. This is one that people have been looking at very closely because he could have the ability to compel President Trump to release his tax returns, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And people may remember that the Ways and Means Committee, their last big investigation that grabbed headlines was all about IRS targeting and whether or not they were giving the nonprofit status to conservative groups. That took up a ton of political space, and it was something that really has had long tails and implications. Neal has the opportunity to do the same thing when it comes to Trump's tax returns. There is going to be kind of a long process of sorting out exactly how that can happen. But I do have an indication from talking to his staff in the past couple of days that they are already trying to figure out how exactly that would work and how quickly they could start putting in requests and, you know, just what the contours of that kind of investigation would look like.
Mm-hmm. Maryland's Elijah Cummings is expected to chair the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, taking over for Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, who is retiring from Congress. What does this mean for members of the Trump administration? Do you expect more investigations into President Trump's businesses, for example?
Oh, this is where the vast majority of the investigations are going to happen. Cummings has been keeping binders upon binders of areas that he wants to investigate. I've spoken to his staff over the past several months, and they have identified specific areas that include the Emoluments Clause, which is the part of the Constitution that says the president can't benefit from his office. That is something that I would expect for them to start delving into as quickly as possible, talking about places like the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., looking into how the Trump administration or the Trump family may have benefited from his position there.
Now, when you look at some of the other committees, you've got Elliot Engel of New York taking over the Foreign Affairs Committee, Washington State's Adam Smith on the House Armed Services Committee, Rahul Grijalva of Arizona on Natural Resources, Frank Pallone of New Jersey, House Committee on Energy and Commerce. I noticed that with most of these people, they are from the coasts, and many of them, if you look at it, are in their 70s and 80s, not exactly a fresh young crop of new Democrats.
Some of that is a little bit by design here. So they, as I mentioned earlier, the reason that somebody becomes a chair of a committee is that they've been around a while and they have institutional knowledge and ability to run these committees. And oftentimes, they're people who come from the bluest parts of the country, places that have consistently reelected Democrats over years and years and years. So in some ways, that's just kind of the structure of Congress. And some of the younger faces, the new people, will get subcommittee chairmanships where they will have kind of control over specific issue areas.
It's interesting to have a conversation about Congress and talk about something being totally different. You know, we've been watching the Trump administration. Now this is going to be a big change for them. NPR congressional reporter Kelsey Snell, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.